Americans off the Sun label, holding stable on my rickety old turntable to 50s on 5. And the Night Prowl show, I'm at the Cat, where it's at. It's Rockabilly Thursday, an extra heaping helping of Rockabilly classics tonight on the Night Prowl. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce you, Night Prowlers, to one of the all-time legends, a Rockabilly icon, Mr. James Burton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. My pleasure, man.
It is so great to have you on the program. I've been a fan of yours for a very long time, as I know most of my listeners have, and bringing you on the show is a real special time for us because we get to ask you, the guy who was there, the guy who helped propel Rockabilly and make it into what it became, we get to ask you directly. So,
well, I'm honored. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. And I want to talk about your James Burton Foundation.
Yes, I'm really excited. You know, in 2005, when I did my first show, I wanted to give something back to the kids. So I wanted to form my foundation to raise money to buy instruments for kids and for schools. And it's been so wonderful. I've probably given out more than 2,000 guitars up to date, you know, today. And it's just incredible.
Wow.
I mean, the kids in school, I have this music program that we, you know, the teacher teaches the kids in school, and I was able to go to the Shriners and also present them with some guitars, and also St. Jude's in Memphis. I took 25 guitars to St. Jude's in Memphis to start a music program for the children there.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, we need more people to do what you've opened up your heart to do.
I'm excited, to help the kids. And you know, anyone that would like to make a donation, they could just contact the James Burton Music, James Burton Fest, F-E-S-T, .com.
JamesBurtonFest.com.
That's correct.
And speaking of the fest, you have the James Burton Festival coming up in August.
That's a big
guitar festival.
This will be my third show.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to work now to bring in the talent for the show, and we're going to have a three-day trade show as well.
Mm.
We got a lot of great people coming for the trade show, a lot of guitar companies, string companies, just all kinds of great companies, anything to do with music, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show.
You know, when you were talking about the James Burton Foundation just a second ago, it made me think. I couldn't imagine being a kid wanting to get into guitars and getting into guitar playing and having James Burton, the legendary James Burton, help me get a guitar. When you were a kid, what would have blown your mind? Who was your idol? Who would have blown your mind if they had taken you aside and hooked you up with a guitar?
Chet Atkins. You know, Chet was my hero. I loved his music, and Merle Travis, and of course, you know, Les Paul.
Mm,
and
the greats.
You know, and that feel of music. But, you know, I sort of got involved into a mixture of music like the country and the rhythm and blues.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the two, and I like to mix the two styles together. So.
And you can hear it in your recordings. There's no question about that. If you could describe the James Burton guitar style, though, how would you describe it? Would you go beyond just saying a mixture of country and R&B? I mean, how would you describe your guitar playing?
Well, you know, I play for the song and for the artist, and I really, you know, I like to play different styles. I think if you're able to do that, it broadens your music ability, and you know, to go play with a lot of different artists and to play different styles of music. I think that's really good for you.
When I listened to your early recordings, when you were like 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, you're still a kid, but your guitar playing is so mature because you know when to lay back. You're not trying to play as many notes as possible and cram them into one measure.
Matt, when I started playing, I realized that it's not how fast you play and not how many notes you play. It's what you play and where you play it is the most important thing to me on a record.
Sometimes less is more, right?
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, any jazz player will tell you that.
That's correct.
And you were mature beyond your years.
Yeah, and I like to play solos off of chords, not, you know, like off the melody of the song. I think if you the solo should mean as much as the vocal on the song, you know.
Right.
Because when the vocal stops and the instrument begins, and then you're taking over, so that becomes the vocal.
Exactly. You're singing. You're singing with your guitar.
Correct.
So let's talk about those early days. You know, you're what, 17 years old? What was the first time you were in a recording
studio? Actually, I wrote a little instrumental when I was 14. And, of course, my mother and dad bought me my first real guitar, the Fender Telecaster 52, 53 Tele. Oh, man, it's just a fantastic
guitar.
You still
have it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The one I played on Uncle Ricky Nelson. It's been on so many records, Merle Haggard, Buck Owens. I mean, there's a long list of artists I played that guitar on their records.
That's amazing, and you're still playing it today.
I'm not playing it today. I have my new signature model.
Right.
I started a program with Fender called the Signature Model, Dan Smith and I, and I have my new guitar has flames on it.
Perfect, because it's red hot.
Yeah, it's a three-pickup Telecaster. I love Telecasters. That's my favorite guitar.
Yeah.
And that's the one I play with Fender, the Telecaster. So my new one has the three pickups and a five-way switch, and I have a button on the volume that gives you a little extra boost on the out-of-phase position.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So who is how did you go from just, you know, James Burton guitar player to James Burton, like, mega sideman? Like, did you hook up with Dale Hawkins? You hooked up with Dale Hawkins before Bob Lumen, correct?
Well, yeah, I did. Here's the thing. When I was 14, I was playing on Louisiana A-Rod in my hometown, Shreveport, Louisiana, behind George Jones and all the Billy Walker and all the incredible country artists. And then, you know, at 14, I was working with Dale Hawkins. We had a blues band. And when I wrote that little instrumental, it got very popular, you know, at all the clubs we played. And so Dale said, well, I better write some lyrics. So Dale wrote some lyrics to it, and that was Suzy Q.
So are you saying that the instrumental you wrote when you were 14 was the guitar lick that became Suzy Q?
Suzy Q, that's correct.
Oh, wow. I mean, because that is one of the dirtiest and most copped guitar licks of all time.
Yeah, you know, I recorded that with Dale at the radio station downtown. It was like up on the third floor of the radio station in this building. And we recorded in a radio station. I mean, it was just incredible. We only had like two or three mics. And it was amazing.
So at the time, Dale was the song came out on Checker Records.
Correct.
But at the time, I'm assuming that Dale wasn't actually signed to Checker, right? You guys just, or was he?
Well, his manager actually got the deal. It was on a Leonard and Phil Chess label, Chess and Checker label.
Right.
And but it was released on Checker.
Right. So he actually had a contract at the time.
Well, yeah, I think his manager had made a deal with Checker with Chess.
Okay.
Leonard and Phil Chess, and it came out on Checker.
That song is over 50 years old. We play it every day here in the 50s on 5.
Wow.
It still gets heavily requested. I mean, it's been covered by so many people. I think CCR did a great job with it, too.
Oh, yeah, John Fogerty. Yeah.
I mean, when you think about Suzy Q, what jumps into your mind? Do you think about the session? Do you think about when you were 14 writing it? I mean, what image comes to your mind when you think about Suzy Q nowadays?
I just think about that funky little lick that that is so cool to play, even today. It's so cool.
And that solo is just so rocking, you know? You're just, like you said, you're playing chords. I mean, you're just changing chords on that.
Right.
But it's so full. The how did you get that sound, that full guitar? It's a very chunky, you know, full chunky guitar sound on that.
See, I don't know. It's just my style of playing, and to play the chords like that, it was like to open up, you know, to give it to add to it, because we only had one guitar, like a bass and drums, and it was a very small four piece band, three piece actually, you know, and I mean, I had to go for it, you know.
And you did.
I had to grab a handful of strings and go for it.
Absolutely. Well, we have to play it right now. All right.
Okay, great.
Dale Hawkins with James Burton on guitar. James Burton's my special guest. It's a Night Prowl show. Suzy Q, baby. Treat me this way, Dale Hawkins, the flip side to Suzy Q. James Burton playing a smoking guitar on that record. And James is my special guest on this Rockabilly Thursday. James Burton, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And so did you ever record, I know that those two songs were recorded in a radio station in Shreveport. Did you ever record up at Chess Studios in Chicago?
Yes, we did, Matt. We went up and actually we went up to do some recording. And while we were there, we did a live show. But we did do some recording. I'm not really sure exactly what songs we did. I'd have to go back through my records and to find out exactly what we actually recorded.
When you say you did a live show, you were on stage in Chicago backing up Dale Hawkins.
Yeah, we did a live show with Laverne Baker,
wow.
Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley. It was, Mickey and Sylvia.
Oh.
Oh, man, it was a great show.
And this is 1957.
That's correct. Well, yeah, it actually was.
So, I mean, this is the height of everyone that you mentioned's career, basically, at this point, too. So it must have been really exciting.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was great.
Yeah, wow. So you weren't with Dale long, though.
No, actually, when I left Dale, I was playing on a hayride with the host of the show. Called me. Horace Logan, who was the MC, called me, and he was actually managing Bob. And he called me and asked me if I would like to come play guitar with Bob Lumen. And I played with him on Louisiana Hayride that night, on a Saturday night. And Bob wanted me to work with him all the time. So we did. We traveled, played, and I cut records with him, and traveled with him and up to Ricky Nelson, and I went to work with Ricky very shortly after that. And actually, I went to work with Rick. I met Ricky in '57 and went to work with him in January of '58.
Wow, and we'll talk about that because there's it's been written about many, many times about how Ricky Nelson stole you away from Bob Lumen, but I imagine that probably didn't happen quite that dramatically. But we'll talk about that in a second. I'd actually like to play you on stage with Bob Lumen on the Louisiana Hayride. I have a live recording of Red Cadillac and Black Mustache.
All right.
That I could play. And so everyone should listen closely because this is you on guitar. But you were also on the studio version of Red Cadillac as well, right?
Yes, correct.
And did you also play on Red Hot, the Bob Lumen song?
I did, absolutely. That's another story. That's actually when I actually met Ricky, we were rehearsing to record that song.
Ah, okay. All right, the puzzle's starting to come together now, James.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear Red Cadillac and the Black Mustache live on the Louisiana Hayride.
I've been gone, long tall man with a red coat on. Trifling, baby, are you doing me wrong? You've been loving since I've been gone. You've been loving since I've been gone. Who's been a playing around with you? A real cool cat with eyes. Good for nothing, baby, why can't you be true? Who's been a playing around?